There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Of course, you're a big part of the show at 343-0106. Also, the text line, same phone number, text number 343-0106. Also, details of the tailgate, ultimate tailgate contest going on right now through mid-November. Details on how to win, what the prizes are, all that kind of good stuff on the front page of our website, fmtalk1065.com. Also on our Facebook page, other social media platforms. Get the details. Here, I'll tell you this. You go on there and check our participating sponsors, right? You get the list. Here's how to win. You get the participating sponsors, and once per day, you can go by their locations and drop your name in the registration box. One per day, okay, at each location. So you can make the circuit. You can build it in as a circuit or go to the same place each time, whether you go to the Cart Doctor, Old Time Feed, Bailey's TV, Fairhope Brewing, Carrot Patch. But make sure to go by, drop your name in the registration box, and that's where we'll be doing the drawing from for over $6,000 in prizes. Back again, the Ultimate Tailgate Prize Giveaway. This goes through November 15th. Once again, register to win the Tailgate Prize Package at any of the five participating sponsors, Cart Doctor, Old Time Feed, Bailey's TV, Fairhope Brewing, and the Carrot Patch. All right, so check it out, the full list on our website and our Facebook page. Coming up on today's show, so much to do. Really excited about what's coming up here in just a little bit. Plus, we'll have 2 hours of show. I know next hour, Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News joins us, talk about some state political news and latest from the gubernatorial stakes. We'll talk about that. And, you know, who's lotto, not lotto, and what Speaker McCutcheon has said is going to be like 1, 2, and 3 in session coming up in 2019. We'll get that going. Also, we'll talk about the Angel Ride Foundation. Used to have the Angel Ride here, now a foundation, what they're trying to do. And coming up here in the second half of this hour, and maybe even sooner, really excited. When I heard about this, a couple of people, Doug told me about it and Tom told me about it. I said, we have got to, I as a just individual am fascinated by this, and I think you're going to be too. There's a number one, what is being accomplished here, and number two, why the accomplishment is being attempted. And we're going to talk with the Fight OR, O-A-R, DIE team about their upcoming there's a paddle. Like, we know we often talk about, hey, we got a little paddle thing going on, right? You're going to paddle down Three Mile Creek, paddle across Duck River. You're going to do this paddle challenge. How about you? You paddle across the Atlantic, right? This is the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge, which is a 3,000-mile race from La Gomera in Spain to Antigua in the Caribbean. The race starts in December. And there are a lot of teams competing in this, but we're going to talk this afternoon with the Fight OR DIE team, consisting of four combat veterans, two of them with that are here with us today. We'll talk about that and the training. I know they were training yesterday. They have been training. Why they're attempting this, what they're doing this to bring attention to, and just the dynamics of getting in a boat and paddling your way, rowing your way across the Atlantic. What an adventure. What a story to tell. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Also, we will get into the Kavanaugh stuff here in just a second. We're waiting President Trump's remarks here on the FBI probe. And I want to get into quickly where we stand right now as of the 3 hours that have passed since the morning show to now on the FBI probe. President is now saying, of course, the FBI should be allowed to interview anyone it deems necessary as it investigates sexual assault claims against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Senator Jeff Flake gave an update on the understanding of where the FBI is in this process. Here's Flake from earlier this morning.
The investigation is ongoing.
They interviewed the first four that were named and have branched off from there, is my understanding, and are interviewing additional individuals, and as it should be. And I hope that they follow leads that come from those first interviews.
Now, we'll see, as Chuck Schumer and others have switched tactics here and now raising questions about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's truthfulness when he testified to Congress last week. Chuck Schumer saying Kavanaugh seems willing to mislead senators about matters big and small to ensure his confirmation. But didn't Chuck Schumer say even before any of the confirmation proceedings he would already was going to vote against Kavanaugh? Okay, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page there. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he's pledging the senators will begin voting on Kavanaugh's nomination this week and criticized what he called endless delay and obstruction. So the Democrats have seized on Kavanaugh's testimony before the Judiciary Committee to question whether he has the temperament for a lifetime appointment to the nation's highest court. Jeff Flake went on this morning to talk more about the state of the Senate in this process.
Lately, there have been so many things that simply have drug us apart, and I don't know how we get back. The incentives are all the other way. There's no currency for bipartisanship.
All right. So I think that's an understatement, at least. So if the president, if we get the comments here, we'll go to that audio when the president addresses the nation on the latest on Brett Kavanaugh. And then the other story this morning that got a pretty good bit of attention, we talked about Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon, saying we listen to our critics out there and announcing today they plan to raise the company's minimum wage in the United States to $15. Right? $15. Now, Dalton, you pointed out that this morning we had heard that before, and I think so. I think they're doubling down on this because it's going to go to subsidiaries of Amazon, like Whole Foods and other companies like that. Amazon announcing plans to raise the company's minimum wage in the United States to $15 following sustained pressure from Democrat Senator Bernie Sanders, socialist, right? Bernie Sanders. But I've got a little different wrinkle on this. A statement today, Amazon said the salary increase to more than double the federal minimum wage of $7.25 would take place on November 1st of this year. Amazon has said the change would affect more than 250,000 full and part-time employees, plus more than 100,000 seasonal staff members who work for Amazon over the holiday season. So that means folks right here at our facility in Mobile. Bezos said, we listened to our critics, thought hard about what we wanted to do, and decided we wanted to lead. We're excited about this change and encourage our competitors and other large employers to follow us. Amazon did not expand on who those critics were, but the company is distancing itself from the suggestion that the salary rise is in direct response to Bernie Sanders' pressure. Jay Carney, Senior Vice President of Amazon's Global Corporate Affairs, added, we will be working to gain congressional support for an increase in the federal minimum wage. Current rate of $7.25 was set nearly a decade ago. Okay, so not only are they raising their minimum wage, but they're going to put pressure on other companies to do it. Now, why would they do that? Would they have the goodness of their hearts? Or is it to even the playing field here, right? And then this goes back to shows we've had in the past, if we could dig them up out of the podcast archives, questions we've asked and talked about. Does government subsidize low-wage employers? In other words, are there government programs that the taxpayers, we the people, are paying for that make it possible to retain large staffs at these lower rates, or does one not have anything to do with the other? We'll talk about this when we get back. Plus, we're going to talk about some of our greatest heroes rowing across the Atlantic on purpose. This is coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Welcome back. Glad to have you here. 343-0106, phone line, text line. Don't you see the story about the... How did we miss this? I guess it's just... Because MPD is still just now reporting this, which, by the way, thinking of MPD, hopefully we'll have one, if not more, MPD officers with us tomorrow. National Have a Coffee with a Cop Day. So we're trying to get some you know, just our guests coming up here in just a second. I had to ply them with some of our horrible radio station coffee. So anybody wanted us to donate some of the high fancy coffee for tomorrow, we'd appreciate it, but we'll have those officers in. And also, you have a chance to do it down at Bienville Square tomorrow at 8 o'clock. But it says, MPD says a cheer coach... This is the high drama here. A cheerleading coach was attacked on Saturday at a park. Happened about 2:30 at Navco Park. What's up, Navco? A cheerleading coach told police she was attacked by a mother and daughter who hit her in the face. Police say both of the attackers hit the coach, causing her face to swell, and then took off. Now, about the context of the writing, her face was swollen. I don't know if they waited for her face to swell, then took off. But that's just a breaking news here from our news partners at WKRG. Cheer coach attacked by mother and daughter. This will be one of these stories I can't wait for more detail on. I'm waiting for it's yes. The interesting part of the details here. Is this it? Or president speaking now? All right, let's go to this.
Well received by farmers and ranchers and industrialists and workers generally, and it's been really something. And I think it's also going to be a very good deal for Mexico, and I believe it's going to be a very good deal for Canada. But it's gotten tremendous reviews, and it's going through the process. And even many of the Democrats, including Chuck Schumer, came out and said nice things. So that's very nice to hear that. So it's nice to see a little bit of a bipartisan approach. But the trade deal, the big trade deal, the largest deal ever made so far in trade, I expect to top it with China or EU or something. But this is the largest ever made. And as you know now, we're working on China, we're working on Japan, we're working on EU. But these are great deals for our nation and great deals for our workers. So, say it. Oh, I think the Democrats are going to like the trade bill. They already do. A lot of them have come out and said very positive things about it. We seem to have great support for the trade bill. It covers just about everybody. I don't even know what you're talking about. I haven't seen it. I'd have to read the story because I don't know what story you're talking about. I don't think you should lie to Congress, and there have been a lot of people over the last year that have lied to Congress, and to me that would not be acceptable. Say it. I think that Judge Kavanaugh is doing pretty well, it seems to me, over the last 24 hours. A lot is going to depend on what comes back from the FBI in terms of their additional number 7 investigation. But I think that Judge Kavanaugh is doing very well right now. We spoke, and that's moving along nicely, but I don't want to interrupt what's going on with Judge Kavanaugh. I don't want to do anything to interrupt what's happening with Judge Kavanaugh. And I think the process, I must say, I think hopefully, as Mitch said, they'll have a vote by the end of the week, and it will be a positive vote, but it will be dependent on what comes back from the FBI. The FBI is working. They're working very hard, and let's see what happens. Peter? I think he was fighting people that were making very tough charges against him. And I thought he did very well. I really did. I thought he did very well. He's fighting very hard for his reputation, for his family. I thought what happened was really tough. It was tough stuff. I've been watching this stuff for a long time. I've never seen anything like going on with respect to Judge Kavanaugh. This is a high-quality person. This is a number one student, a top intellect. He's never gone through anything like this. I think he did very well. I think he'll be totally impartial. I think he's a great judge. He's known as a great judge. If there's one disappointment, I don't think that you people covered an aspect that's very important, very, very important, and that's what he's done over the last 30 years. You know, you're going back to high school, you're going back to college. What has he done over the last 30 years? He has been spectacular. He has been a tremendous, tremendous success. Well, I heard Lindsey say that, and certainly it's interesting. People love him. I was in Tennessee last night, and I want to say that those people, we had a sold-out arena with thousands of people outside. Everywhere I go, I'm going to Pennsylvania, it's the same thing. They are so in favor of Judge Kavanaugh. You've never seen anything like it. I actually think it's like a rallying cry for the Republicans. They are so in favor of Judge Kavanaugh. So Melania's in Africa. I just saw on television her walking out of the plane. It was beautiful, and saying hello to the kids. She is really doing a great job as First Lady. No, I want to see what happens with the FBI. They're coming back with reports. They'll be back. They'll be back very soon. Are you talking about a second time? I mean, this was Lindsey's idea. Lindsey's a friend of mine, at least for the last 6 months, as you know. Lindsey's a friend of mine. And he's done really a great thing and a great service for our country, Lindsey Graham. But I have to say that I really think that Judge Kavanaugh is going to be accepted and voted on, and positively voted on, but we're going to have to see what the FBI says. They'll come back with a report. Well, it's a tough thing going on. If you can be an exemplary person for 35 years and then somebody comes and they say, you did this or that, and they give three witnesses, and the three witnesses at this point do not corroborate what she was saying. It's a very scary situation where you're guilty until proven innocent. My whole life I've heard you're innocent until proven guilty, but now you're guilty until proven innocent. That is a very, very difficult standard. Say it.
What does it say to young men in America?
Well, I say that it's a very scary time for young men in America when you can be guilty of something that you may not be guilty of. This is a very difficult time. What's happening here has much more to do than even the appointment of a Supreme Court justice. It really does. You could be somebody that was perfect your entire life, and somebody could accuse you of something. Doesn't necessarily have to be a woman, as everybody says, but somebody could accuse you of something, and you're automatically guilty. But in this realm, you are truly guilty until proven innocent. That's one of the very, very bad things that's taking place right now. Say it. There's not a message now, but you might have a message by the end of the week. You may have a message. You're going to see. But he's an outstanding person. He's an outstanding man. And for his sake and for the sake of his family, I hope he does well. I think he's been very brutally treated. I've been speaking to people. We're going to talk later. I don't want to do anything to interrupt what's happening, this process. That's fine, but I don't want to do anything to interrupt the process. Well, I don't drink. I've never had a drink. I don't drink beer. I've never had a beer. And I'm not saying good or bad. Some people like it. I just chose not to do that for a lot of reasons. I think that I remember my college days, everybody was drinking. It was like normal. I was abnormal. It was totally normal. Everybody was drinking. And they used to drink a lot of beer. And there was nothing wrong. I just didn't choose to do that. But almost everybody else did. So I don't see anything wrong. No, I never tried anything else. Yet.
All right, so the president now heading towards, which one is that? Is that the Sikorsky? Heading towards Marine One, which, by the way, I wonder how much in fuel was burned there. Yes, the helicopter was waiting. Marine One waiting for the president. Was that the Sikorsky or was that the... was the other one? There's like two of them that seem to... I think that was Sikorsky. By the way, you heard the president say, too, this will be the highlight, I'm sure, going forward on this afternoon's talk shows. President Trump saying, it's a scary time for young men in America. You can be accused before you prove your innocence. Interesting. All right, coming right back with a story of a little row across a little pond called the Atlantic.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 1236 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along on this Tuesday. Really glad you picked a great time to be listening here, because this is an event that we... Doug got with us on Facebook last week and said, hey, this is going on. I know he's active with Buccaneer Yacht Club. And he said, hey, there's something going on you need to know about. And then our buddy Tom Claxton, one of the density of Marines that work around this radio station, was in here yesterday. He said, hey, have you gotten a chance to talk to the guys with Fight or Die? And I said, no, I heard about it. But he said, well, they're practicing today. Maybe you can get them in tomorrow. So I have pulled half the team off the water. I'm going to get you all close to those mics, too. I pulled half the team off the water here. And so if y'all have any issues during your paddle across the Atlantic, it was not my fault that you missed this day of practice. Chris and Alex, thanks for being here. Thanks for being on the show. And first of all, introduce yourselves and talk about what this what Fight or Die is and what this race is all about.
Well, first off, thanks for having us on. My name's Alex Evans. I'm the skipper for Fight or Die. You know, initially, the way this was born was I had a friend in the British Army. I was deployed with them for quite some time. And he lost his leg in an IED attack. And then several years later, got together with a team from the British Army, and they rode this exact race and completed it. After that, he went on, and a lot of them went on to do other things for veterans in the UK. And Rota Recovery had put a team in the race since then, and they made a lot of money. The first round was to the tune of £1.4 million.
Wow!
So there's a lot of good that can be done with that. And so I figured, why can't we get some like-minded individuals here in the United States to do something like that and expand on it and make it better? You know, we've got the human capital, the resources, everything in the United States to make that much better. So I figured, let's give this a shot. So I got together with Bo Meyer, Bryant Knight, and Chris Kuntz. That's the team. And we have been working on this for going on 2 years now, and it's actually coming to fruition. And we're going to make a change here.
And you are the y'all will be the first all U.S. veteran team to accomplish this.
Yes, the first.
And introduce yourself to everybody.
Hey guys, how you doing? My name's Chris Kuntz. I was the fourth of the four recruits to come on board Fight or Die, and you know, I talked to Bo Meyer about this, and you know, kind of an odd situation. I went in for a job interview to be a welder, and I walk in and Bo's interviewing me, and for the first 2 hours we discussed this race. He showed me videos, and
you know, he's like, hey, where's the welding part of this?
Yeah, would you like to be a part of this? I'm like, oh, absolutely, let's do this. And it's like, okay, well, great. No, all right. And I'm like, well, what about the job? Oh yeah, just be here tomorrow day. You know, so it was kind of, you know, lack of a better term, I force gumped my way onto the team. So, and ever since then, you know, we've been working our tails off to get done. We've had a lot of good people help us. We were out, you know, my first time here in Mobile, the city's just opened up to us. I mean, we've met so many people. I went to the USS Alabama, you know, we had a law firm, Gardberg and Kemmerly.
Yeah.
Christine, who's the office manager, and Dottie, who's the bookkeeper, have been kind of like our warriors. They've been out there promoting us and stuff like that. And we were just so appreciative of them. And then afterwards, we went to Ed's shed and met Panini Pete. And
yeah.
Man, we crushed some oysters. I think if we would have stayed there, we could have equaled the national debt and food bill.
Because it's you got to work at it. It's rising, that national debt. But we like it. I mean, we got the seafood here. So y'all make sure to get plenty of that while you're here. And to talk about this, because y'all are here in Mobile, you're training.
Correct.
So, yeah, let me ask you the biggest setup question ever. How does one train to row across the Atlantic? Well, as a skipper, this is yours. Yeah.
So, you know, we've been spending a whole lot of time on rowing machines and that sort of thing leading up to it. Our boat was just recently completed, so on a rowing machine, there's only so much you can do, but, you know, our standard was pretty much, you know, 10,000 meters in 1 hour, and then multiply that by as many hours as you want to go, 10 to 16 strokes per minute. So, you know, you're not just on there, you know, sprinting this whole thing or kind of having it. You're getting good strokes in. You're getting good, powerful strokes in for that hour, 2 hours, or whatever you're rowing at. But the standard is 10,000 meters in an hour. And, you know, to go beyond that, you know, weight training, mm-hmm. You're going to have certain muscles that are going to atrophy. You're going to have certain muscles that are going to be overworked, that sort of thing. So, you know, building everything. When I say everything, I do mean everything.
Absolutely.
You know, is important.
Because you're not, it's not like when you train on a rowing machine, it's not like you're taking a sculling craft. I mean, talk to us about the boat that y'all will be rowing across the Atlantic.
All right. It's a 28-foot ocean rowing sea craft. It's called the Whoopee. It's hull number 6.
Whoopee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, our security blanket.
It's good in the middle of the Atlantic to have a fiberglass security blanket that floats. Yeah. It's a good thing.
So it's all made of, it's handmade carbon fiber. It's hull number 6. It's made by Spindrift Rowing out of Port Townsend, Washington. Like Alex was saying, we just got it. We went on board the last few days. Solar powered for electricity. We got gel batteries to store that electricity. We've got AIS system, VHS system. We've got our emergency beacon systems on board, both for ourselves individually as well as the boat. Garmin GPS to kind of get us there. We got a ball and compass in case it gets down to the basics. But, you know, it's all encompassing. We have a desalinization on board that's run by the electricity, so we can pump the water when the electricity's at its peak, and then, you know, hopefully pay it forward and always be in an abundance of water, because that's probably going to be our major deficit.
Right.
During the whole thing is our hydration.
Yeah, water everywhere, but
none to drink.
Yeah, so that's
the rhyme of the ancient mariner.
Yes, very good. I mean, but you know, I start thinking about y'all on a rowing machine, but usually, you know, people go on the rowing machine or you see competitive, they're sculling a craft or whatever, light, very light. So even if it's carbon fiber, y'all, 28 feet long, which is, by the way, tight quarters for y'all across it, but 28 feet long, there's some resistance when you go to pull on that.
Yeah, we found out yesterday when we all got off this boat after the last 2 days. I kind of made a joke. I'm like, I'm going to have to start doing the buns of steel work.
So what did y'all, we were talking a little bit before we went on there. What did y'all do yesterday for training? So give us a little route, because people here can picture kind of what you were telling me, where y'all went for your practice run.
Well, so we put in a couple of days ago out off of Dauphin Island, and we initially rowed out into the Gulf, get a little big water in, right. You know, basically hand-railed the state of Alabama, right. heading inbound to Florida. Didn't make it to the panhandle or anything like that, but ended up going between those the coast and you know, a bunch of offshore rigs, and ended up finding ourselves in the middle of a storm.
It's probably good shakedown there, because you're going to be
good training. Yeah. So, you know, basically the winds kicked up. We probably had about 30 knot winds, sustained. You know, we had between 7 and 10 foot rollers out there. And we could not, we were having trouble keeping the nose in the wind, but we all did really well. I mean, if you looked at, looked at our course, we stayed fairly straight into the wind. I mean, we slowed down considerably.
Sure.
It was part of the training requirements, but we ended up anchoring in, at night as part of the training requirements to be, checked off for the race, but,
right.
Anchored in and
what would anchored in be defined as? I mean, here physically you could anchor, but in the middle of the Atlantic, who has the anchor line to do that? At night, are you using drift anchors, or what are you doing?
Right. It's a parachute anchor.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So a sea anchor.
Yeah.
So, you know, basically those are thrown off the bow, just to keep you, nose into the wind and the mm-hmm. current. And, you know, you have to have your retrieval line on there and whatnot to collapse that parachute in order to bring it back in. Unless
you want a real workout trying to pull it back in.
Right. Try to bring 200 pounds of water in. That's going to be a lot of fun. But
y'all did that. Y'all went out. So you went east and you're coming back because you're coming out of at a Dolphin Island, but y'all are kind of headquartered at Buccaneer Yacht Club, right?
Correct. And I'm glad you brought that up too. We've got a whole lot to say about that yacht club. They've been supportive, incredibly supportive since the beginning of this. We showed up and we've been treated like family the whole time. And they've given us pretty much free reign of that yacht club to do all the work we need to on the boat. We've had people come out and help us, bring us food, bring us water, help us put in, you know, that sort of thing. Go out with us to kind of trail boat. So, you know, a huge shout out goes to those people as well. We couldn't have conducted our training like we did without that yacht club.
Yeah, literally, we couldn't have done this race with that would have cost us way more than we ever could have probably raised funds wise.
Well, let's talk. Well, Tom, we come back. I want to talk about raising funds. I want to talk about also raising awareness. Y'all as veterans, as heroes, to raise awareness of what's going on back here at home when people get home, and some really grim stats for our veterans here in the United States. Coming right back, we'll talk more with Chris and Alex, and also take your text at 343-0106. I know I'll check in people want to help out. We'll find out how folks can help out, what they can do, how they can come watch y'all do some of this as well, and more about the big race and what you're bringing attention to. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Now, just to jump right into the conversation that we were having during the news break, Alex and Chris and I were just talking. You said, well, the boat's so light.
Yeah.
The Whoopi is so light. It's 28. How light's the Whoopi?
Oh, it's probably 500 pounds dry. It's all carbon fiber, lightweight.
28 feet. But it still has the surface area of a 28-foot boat.
Right.
And you get wind against it.
Right.
And that makes for some.
Yeah, it creates a little sideways sail. And like we were talking earlier off the air, we got into a situation where we took on a nose wind and that's just how the current was going all against us. And we were two guys in the cabins. And we had two options. Hey, we can call in for a rescue boat, or hey, we can go three up and we're going to have to muscle through this. And obviously we made the latter of the two decisions, and three guys got up there. And, you know, it was a big confidence builder for us because we broke through that wind. We broke through that that current that was against us, and we got it in. You know, it was kind of one of those euphoric feelings like, yeah, if we ever run into this, we got it handled. We did this. And it was a great feeling because you get frustrated out there easy.
Right.
But I imagine, I mean, with what y'all have done for our country, that the challenge of something like this is just another challenge to be, you know, to be accomplished.
Yeah, to us, you know,
life would be boring if y'all weren't challenged. I mean, exactly. I can imagine, right?
You know? Well, it's part of the reintegration. It's part of our mission. You know, you're used to being tasked with these. Hey, I need you to take these guys over there and do this, and you got 5 minutes to get there. You know, and then you come back to the States, and you don't have that type of normalcy that was in your life at that time as an abnormal.
Even though
as that
to a civilian, it seems like the most abnormal thing ever. But that's what y'all do. You accomplish things that are unaccomplishable.
Yeah, and you know you're always tasked with, the president dialed 911. It went to a unit at Fort Bragg, and usually you were in it, and you had to go handle it. You know, and you're just like, okay, hey, we got to go do this. We got 2 minutes to get there, and let's go do it. You know, you put it together, and like we always say, you know, no plan survives first contact. So as soon as something goes wrong, you're like, okay, well, that wasn't in the plan. But all of us, you know, we've been through so much in our lives that it's quickly to go, okay, let's go, let's change here, let's do that. And that's happened to us on this row. You know, like I said yesterday, we came into a situation where two rowers couldn't get through the wind and couldn't get through the tide, so let's make a decision. Let's go three up, move some stuff around. Bam, we got in, you know, and we got the boat safe to harbor and trailered it up and headed back and had a nice steak dinner.
There you go. This race doesn't know what it's about to get here with for veterans. And let's talk about what y'all are doing. Number one, other than just rowing across the Atlantic, that Alex, you're doing this to bring attention to something that is a sad stat we've talked about on the show so many times in the past. And talk about that.
Well, sure. So, you know, awareness is one thing, and action is an entirely different thing. So, with awareness, you know, we are aiming to create action. And we're doing that by partnering with the Denver University Sturm Specialty in Military Psychology. And that's headed by Dr. Jacob N. Hyde. And Dr. Hyde is also an Iraq War veteran. He was a Navy corpsman, which, you know, for people out there that don't know what they do, they go out with Marines, and they are medics of Marines. They're medics on ships. He's seen his share as well. And so what he does is he trains doctoral students in psychology, specifically military psychology, to deal with veterans and just intrinsic issues. You know, a lot of it does have to do with PTSD, TBI, reintegration issues, substance abuse, that type of thing. And he also has, created different ways of gathering data to better the science in treating those conditions. This is the first program of its type in the nation. The first 16 doctoral students will be doctors in military psychology out of this first class. So you will have doctors in psychology that specifically are there to treat military veterans, which is really important to us. I mean, we all know somebody in the military, and 99.9% of us anyway, know somebody in the military, know somebody that's a veteran, you know, that suffers from something like that. And in addition to that, you know, he works with isolated, confined, and extreme stress environments.
So that is a what? The isolated extreme stress environments.
Yeah, so our boat, but does a lot of like confined spaces for, say, fire departments. He did some work with those the soccer team that was trapped in the cave.
Right.
He was interviewed about that, and he was asked his professional opinion about that by rescuers and whatnot. So that's the kind of things he deals with. He also is assistant editor in the Journal for Human Performance.
So he's doing this, and I mean, y'all are raising awareness. Also, y'all are going to become a chapter of the textbook. I mean, y'all are going to be studied, too.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Right. We're going to be on board, and we're going to have uplinks with him, and we're going to take, like, miniature psych evals. We're going to get our blood pressure and our VO2, and they're going to monitor us and how we progress through the race as part of this. Hey, how does a human being survive and thrive in an isolated, extreme, confined space environment? That is
pretty much fits the definition.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, I mean, this is maybe the groundwork for, you know, sending people out into space to the next frontier. Who knows?
Right.
But also helping out our folks that are back home here deal with whatever it is every day in anywhere USA.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, I'll tell you, this whole thing, you know, us doing this, I mean, it's there's a lot of 5Ks out there to raise money, you know, and they do, but they're one-off projects, sometimes annual projects, right? So we want to do something bigger than a 5K for a couple reasons. A, we're going to make this, you know, a yearly thing, an annual deal, and there's going to be 4 new veterans every single year. And hopefully we can keep this thing sustained, you know, as a fundraiser to put money into programs to help more veterans, because we all know it takes money. It takes money to get things done. That's the unfortunate beast of the whole thing.
But it's true.
So, but what it also does is through us doing this, us accomplishing this task, we also show people that are on the fence on whether or not they're still just as bad as they used to be. And the answer is they are. If you're a veteran and you're having problems, you are just as bad as you used to be. You're just the same. You know, you're the toughest dude on earth. You're the toughest girl on earth. You're toughest, seaman, sailor, soldier, airman, marine that you always were. You just got a different set now. So we're trying to show them that you're not weak, you're not broken, and that you can do anything you want still, and you can likely do it better than anyone else. And that's kind of what we're trying to show people through our actions. Now, getting back to the fundraising aspect, it takes money to sustain something like this.
Yes. So how do people, and because we'll run the news break here in a second, but before, if people lose us here at 1, if they're heading back in, more information online, where would they go to find out more about what y'all are doing and help with the fundraising here?
Right. So you can follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Facebook is Fight or Die. Or is spelled O-A-R, because we like puns here.
so do we. Yeah,
so Fight or Die. And on Instagram, it's hashtag Fight or Die, all one word, because that's the way Instagram likes to roll.
Yeah.
Hashtag Fight or Die. And we also have our website, which is usvetro.org. And I'll spell that phonetically. It's Uniform Sierra Victor Echo Tango Romeo Oscar Whiskey.org. And that is where you can read a bio about each one of the rowers, what our mission is, our partnership, and watch a video on the race and a video about who we are.
Yeah, right. It's super exciting, man.
This is good. I'm gonna hold y'all over for the news break just a couple minutes in the next segment.
Absolutely.
I just want to make sure we get all this information down. Plus, it is going to be on our social media platforms as well, so you can link through there. 12:59, check news next.